I just heard the funniest thing. Hallelujah. I know God usually doesn't say something funny, but He said, you know why the devil tries to convince you something's impossible? I said, no, why? And he said, because it's not. I told you. I never quite heard it like that. No, these devils trying to convince you that it's absolutely impossible.
Well, why is he doing that?
Because it's not. I got a new bumper sticker. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sheloka. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shakoradity. Samaritan woman at the well addressed Jesus. Are you talking to this unclean woman? He said, yeah. And he says, God is a spirit, and they seek as such to worship Him. That what God waited for is He waited the dispensations out of 4,000 years for the first man to appear, for God is spirit. And they seek as such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So he waited this 4,000 years for this man to appear, the first man that could worship him in spirit, had the same nature that he could climb up into a place of fellowship. Well, you have that because he came. And one reason he loves worship, because that part of you that loves to fellowship with Him, your spirit, the statements of adoration that you understand in your language, you know, I glorify, I magnify you, exalt you, I lift you up, see? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What you're doing is you're submerging your spirit in His presence. And if you do it any period of time, sustain it there, then things will begin to happen, see. You can't sustain your spirit in the presence of fellowship with Him for any amount of time that things won't start to happen. They will. Sometime when I make my great, great statement of faith, you know, I'm well, or I'm healed, or that, yeah, this is not going to win, and this test is not going to take me out. It's not going to. Boy, I tell you, when you make your statements and then sustain yourself there for 30, 40 minutes, and I guess we'd call it private worship if there wasn't anybody else there, wouldn't we? Private worship, of course, God's in on it. But you can't do that without affecting your faith, see. You can't suspend yourself in His presence and stand on the statement of His Word, not your ideology. It was mostly right. I'll try again. Ideology. You thought I got it wrong, didn't you? You just wasn't listening. I believe in peace. See, you can't do that. That your fellowship will draw closer and devils grow more distant. Did you know that your worship and outpouring of thanks and glory to God kind of upsets their atmosphere? You ever see some? You ever made a girl so mad that she huffed off and says, "Well, I ain't taking no more of this." Oh, I haven't. I just want to know what it's like from you. That's what the devil does. I'm not going to have to take any more of this. You got that? You don't have. Yeah, just get out of here and you won't have to, you know. Hallelujah. Did you know that he's the one that sets up an atmosphere? One, just, you're just doing so good, you know. Yay, I got it together. What a day of victory. I can tell my prayers are answered. Ooh, are they answered? Man, you come in, you're just high as a kite, and you walk in the front room, close the door, and all of a sudden, mud.
Hello, Jake?
Yeah.
Could you talk me up?
Some of you think, did you know that most of you that think that's you, all you got to do with it is you have the capacity. That's what you need to get rid of. But you think that's you feeling like that.
Oh, I just feel so ugly. I could just slap you into next Tuesday and it wouldn't bother me a bit.
I know that I got a poor way of explaining things, but they could get from. Just, I remembered the day that I discovered I was dealing with an entity. Wished I could see him. I'd put my hands around his neck. He'd be wearing his neck where his ankles are, I can tell you that. But his most powerful weaponry is deception. I mean, all religions that deny all religions that lead slowly off of the emphasis of being born again. You know, all of those religions and stuff is his handiwork in deception. He had hundreds of years to do it, so he could pull it off slow, generation after generation, until we was into another dark age. Now, how did he do that when the apostles taught people, and they taught people, and they taught people, and then finally there's a dark age? Same way he works on us. What do you just drive up and down this street and count the churches?
Why is there different churches?
Because they don't all bleed the same. Jesus is the person on the forefront, but the arguments begin on the Holy Spirit, what born again is, did you receive him? Is this for today? Is this not for today? Look how many's just on our street. They're on every street like that. And you're saying he didn't do a good job? You think Paul would come in and say, what? You mean there's two churches in town? You mean there's just not one that runs 50,000? No, Paul, there's 72. None of them believe just alike. Oh, something happened, didn't it? That most powerful weapon is deception, see? And most of the time he comes as a... Why would he reveal to you who he is? I mean, why would he take all the plus away from himself? He doesn't reveal who he is. Most of the time when icky hits you, you're just walking in the house and icky. He'll follow you home if somebody was ugly to you at church, and then icky, he'll say, it's the church. You need to go to another church. It's icky. After all, they don't have a nursery. Well, you know what icky is when it comes in? I can remember when I discovered it. I was already in Tulsa, already survived 8 years in Medford, and came here and had some revivals and all that, and icky would still come in the room. I'd just be doing good, you know. Oh boy, I had a meeting of meetings. Wow, it's good. Whew.
Icky.
Duh, I feel unspiritual. This depression kind of looked more like an icky kind of thing. What is this? Nothing seems real. Oof. Somebody hand me $1,000 bill, I'd get up for a little while. Yeah. Ooh, icky. You going to church? I don't know. Like, get up, son.
I don't want to, Mom.
But you have to go to church. It's Sunday.
I don't want to.
Get up and go to church. You know you're supposed to go to church. Get up.
I don't want to, Mom. Just give me one good reason.
Son, you're the pastor. But when icky shows up, the atmosphere changes around you. You have no idea why. You just went in, there's icky. Ooh. I feel depressed. In fact, next time he comes in your house, just say, "Icky, I know who you are." But tell me, how many, for no apparent reason, all of a sudden this darkness just drops over you, kind of, you're going,
"Nah, is this going to be okay? I don't know if that's going to work out. My house payment, my hand, even groceries, I don't enough. When I come in, I have enough time. Stamps,
you ever been there? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I hate to say all the people that are lying. You know what? I mean, not the ones that raised their hands. But I remember the day that I heard him say, "Son, this is the bona fide presence of not the class that possesses you." You know, if Satan lived in one of you, it'd hinder his overall operation. Because you can't go very far. You say, "Where were you yesterday?" I don't know. I was flying over Ireland, the last thing I remember. Now that class, that he don't possess you. There's a demonic class. You think there just was one class of spirit? No. No, but that one that comes in like that. That one is a I would say more of the fallen angelic class. And he can make his presence known hideously. Very, very powerful. Especially if he's on some kind of assignment. He's there to depress you out of it, to destroy you. Just depending on what it is. I remember when I was getting ready to go do some of the first meetings I've ever done. He'd come. I'd get so scared and tormented. I mean, it was sheer force. I had nobody to really go to. It was sheer force that brought me through. But when I discovered that it was, if you want to call it, an entity, then that's how I dealt with it. And I was so shocked when the atmosphere cleared up the first time. I said, "Wait a minute. God, is this what you're telling me? Wow." I said, "Okay, I got your number." And you, you get out of here now. In the name of Jesus, you leave my presence. Now. And it felt like a surrounding around me just moved. Just moved away. Feeling good came back to me. Energy came back. Purpose. Get that done. Where's my Bible? How many of you tried to pick your Bible up and just couldn't hardly? You wanted to read it, you know, like you're supposed to, but you just, I just don't feel like it now. Well, I won't ask for a raise of hands. That's not normal. See? So as long as we have a soul and we're here, He's going to be busy with atmospheres and throwing things at you and throwing thoughts when possible. Just remember, you don't have to take that. You don't have to take it. Just recently I heard a pretty in-depth teaching on peace. It's with everything I've known about through the years, but this one was stronger teaching. And it was incredible what walking in absolute peace, not being downcast or not staying there, not depressed all the time, and that, but absolutely a joy and a peace dominating. And the second thing was, of course, what all of you do fervently, exercise. Anyway, the second was exercise, if not just more than going for walks and stuff. And that had so much to do with you and with disease and peace and living long. Everything else like that. So I just made it a decision. You know, I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be down. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to do anything but go to heaven.
Aren't you going to wait till you get there?
No, I think I'll bring some here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Seek one another. But see, this is a part of this is interpretation. This is a part of His joy. To see you not only healed in body, part of His joy is to also see you, if you want to call it that, healed in soul or walking with your soul under subjection, you know, to the new nature and the peace that He's delivered to us. That's what the world's looking for and can't find it. And they're not going to till they meet our Jesus. Our Jesus. Thank you. He just brought me back to that. Just because He's here like this. And there's several people here. But you can take care of it yourself. You know, just what we said. Just when that icky comes in, you can even give icky a name. I know you're here, icky. I got your number. This is not me feeling this way. You get out of here. You get out of here. In Jesus' name. And I know sometimes when I counsel with people, I say, how do you feel now? And they say, okay. And I'm thinking, yeah, because He doesn't come in here. Wow. But anyway, in the tongue, an interpretation is that if you have had, you know, like a maybe too many of those kinds of experiences or something, or maybe it's affected you a little bit to where it's pulled you down some. When for you, he's ready to take his grace and trade a little of your weakness off for his standing, which can't be earned, then you can just maintain it. Glory be to God. Whew. Well, I'm afraid of getting old. By the time he's done with you, you'll be running towards it. After all, they got makeup that can help you. So if you want to stand up just where you're at, then we'll pray. And I know he went into that for a reason. He wants you to know it's not him. He wants you to know you got more than whatever is coming against you. What Jesus give you is enough. Hallelujah, Jesus. And what I'm praying for here is if he's tried to establish any kind of base, you know, where you kind of stay that way, where he can just come and go and destroy. No more. No more. He can take his grace and take that place in your life and trade it off for his strength. And Father, we know that knowledge is strength, and knowledge is faith, and knowledge is powerful. For we know, we understand what's going on. You've taught me, Father. You've taught me. So, Father, first of all, any healing that needs to be administered in the name of Jesus, every single person standing, and those who aren't standing and just didn't want us to know, visit them too. But for every person standing and every person sitting, first, your healing anointing saturate. Oh, Father, with your grace, manifest. And Father, now a boldness, something that will rise up in him next time he tries to make his visitation. A boldness to rise up in him. And in the name of Jesus, you're not taking my peace. You're not taking my health. I'm not going to worry about the money. I'm not going to worry about sickness, disease, what I have, what I don't have. Nothing. You're not going to cause any more of that. Only thing I'm going to hold up is his word and truth. In truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And oh, Father. Oh, Father. I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Look, I gave up praying a long time ago and not believing it. What would be the point? God has said it. You can be seated gently if you like. For the enemy using deception in religion has taken away the confidence that was once in the church in the early days and then at different times following, but many times attained to, was the kind of absolution in faith that those who carried it knew and believed that what I said I would do is what I would do. And that's not out of your reach, for you have access to the truth. And you speak of revival. What do you believe revival's made out of? Revival's made out of the restraint taken off of me, saith the Lord. Whew. That's scary. When Jesus was teaching, you must understand he was teaching to spiritually dead men. In fact, they started to be born again after he went to heaven, after the crucifixion, resurrection, and back. They came back. And then some got born again. Then he went back. And the day of Pentecost took place. They all gathered in. All of them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, sir. This is amazing. Do you wonder why he went to a kindergarten level on his teaching? I mean, a kindergarten level, how simple could he get? I know they were spiritually dead people he was talking to. But I mean, this is the level of children. You know, he says, can you imagine this? This is too deep. Most of you won't get it. Are you ready? You won't get it. He says, it's deep. I mean, it's Greek and Latin and everything. I mean, the guy that broke it down probably had a lot of trouble understanding it because it's so, so deep. Consider the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Isn't that deep? How is it that you have no faith? I mean, that was way over my head, so he had to give a little bit more. Consider the lily. Now he's really lost me. I'm barely holding on to the original language here. Consider the lily. One day it's in the field. And the next day it's baking some woman's bread in an oven. Solomon in all his glory wasn't dressed up like that lily. Don't you think that maybe you're worth a little more than that bird and that lily? Then he wanted to know. How is it I wish they would get more basic on the example. I don't understand the complication of faith. How is it that you have no faith? This took all the strength out of me. This is really deep. I guess nobody knows why they don't have any faith. Let's go read something, shall we? Well, I got a reaction from the baby. Why don't you go to Luke, the 11th chapter. And we can start about the 5th verse, and then we'll stop at the 54th. Yeah, then I'd have to wake you up. Let's just start here at the 5th verse. Oh, well, now, I like the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to the first verse. And it came to pass, this is Luke 11:1. It came to pass when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, "Well, when you pray, say, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, and we forgive everyone, yes, everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. James said, "Let no man say when he's tempted of God, for God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth nor trieth any man." In the Lord's Prayer, we have to say, "Lead us not into temptation." What if he can't? How come we had to pray that? "Let no man say when he's tempted by God." Well, that's not right. We have to pray the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," when you promised that you couldn't in another place. Should we just mumble over it and skip it, or go to something we understand, or what should we do? Maybe faith comes by hearing this. Do you know what it means? Yes. Are you going to tell us if you'd be real nice? Don't you say, "God"? He'll say, "Yes.
I want $1,000,000.
Does he want to give it to you? Of course he does. But if it's going to take you into a temptation of the flesh and everything else where it's going to do you in, he can't give it to you. So when you said, "Lead us not into temptation," you just give him permission not to give you something that'll cause you to fall. Well, could it be a legal thing? Money's legal. I want a brand new Corvette. Probably the last time I'll see you in church. He can't do it. Because you prayed, "Lead me not into temptation." God says, "Okay on that one." Well, he goes on to say, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, he's come to me, and I don't have anything to set before him.' And he from within will answer and say, 'Don't trouble me. The door is shut. My children are sleeping. They're in bed. I can't rise and give you this.' I say unto you, he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, his unshamed stand and knocking on the door and won't leave and beating on it and yelling and,
"I want bread."
Because of his importunity, his stubbornness, he won't stop, he won't go away. He will rise and give him as many as he needeth. You know how many preachers preaches on that? It's how persistent you're supposed to be with God. He beat on the door, pound on it, keep calling him, yelling, "I need some bread," and keep yelling at him. You know how many use that in their teaching to be persistent? Good grief. You'd be standing there yelling for something he already gave you. Well, they use this as an example, how to get something from God. No, this is an example. This is an example of the opposite of what you're supposed to do when you enter God's presence.
How do you know?
By finishing the chapter. What does it say? Again, the 8th verse. "I say unto you, though he'll not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he'll rise and give him as much as he need." The only way I'm going to get this guy off of my porch is to give him this bread, for crying out loud. Which that's what he's been doing. Then he says in 9, "And I say unto you," here comes your instruction, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him knock that shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone or a fish? Or for a fish a serpent? Or if you shall ask an egg, will he offer a scorpion? If you then, being evil," that's capable of it right now, because you are. If you being evil, I mean evil as you are, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? He was using it as an opposite. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In the other translation, Matthew, he said good things. But here he said the Holy Spirit. So this was an opposite to compare it to. You beat on the door and finally he reluctantly gets up and gives it to you. How much more will your heavenly Father give to you who just ask him? How much more will he give, he said, the Holy Spirit to you that ask him? And here he said Holy Spirit. Most of the time he says Holy Ghost. But sometimes when he's a little variant in the speech, he'll use Spirit. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to you that ask him? Which means everything that God has, your calling, the born-again experience, everything a heavenly Father would have for you, everything that you would ever need. He used the other as a contrast. How much more would your heavenly Father? Because you have to beat on the door and beg, because he loves you, he paid the price, and he gave it to you. So just receive it. Not only you being born again later, but everything that goes with it. Do you think that he's the one holding back the gifts?
Well, I just love to operate in all those.
Look at the contrast. He said, "I'm not like that guy that they beat on the door all night long and finally got him to open the door. How much more? How much more would I, your heavenly Father, you being evil, were capable of that? Giving him the bread? How much more, in contrast, will I, your heavenly Father, give good things?" And that is also in the Spirit concerning call, God, ministry, everything else you have as his son and daughter. Good things to them that just what? Ask him. And this is what's hard for us to understand verses like. Consider the fowls of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them, and what are you worth less than they are? Why do you think he sent them out with no script, take nothing with you? Jesus put his mantle on them. They wasn't born again yet. But we're born again and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. They had to have him just resting up on them, not in them. And he says, you don't have to take any script, nothing. You just go. You'll see how I can provide for you. They all came back just amazed. Well, why take the space to make all those examples? Somebody says, you got stamped on your book. I know it. This book can't be sold. Well, how come you have that on it? And I said, it should be a cold day in hell when money stands between a truth that'll make somebody free whether they get it or not. Oh, come on. Come on. Well, he used a bird analogy, a lily. How opposite he is, that guy that you had to beat the door down. Why should I be afraid to go somewhere for him? I'm not. I remember when I still had the 58 Impala, the V-tail turquoise and white, 6-cylinder. They were the popular car in their day. But when I got that one, it wasn't their day. I got it for almost nothing, and I knew why after I got it. My tires, I just got them on the rim. I bought the tire on the rim. It was usually a Baldy, but I only had to pay $3 or $4 for the whole thing. So I'd put about 3 of them in the trunk, and every time I'd have a blowout, I'd just get out and change it. It was easy. Well, the thing smoked so bad that I hated that, you know, if I'd wait for everybody to go down the hill, then I'd go down the hill. Because I'd have to let up on the gas pedal. When I did, it'd run everybody off the road behind me. It burned a quart of oil about every mile. I put reclaimed oil in it that you used it, and then they cleaned it up and I got it. It's called reclaimed. Have you ever heard of it? Oh, that was too fast. You've used it. Hi, brother. Smoke. Smoke just pouring out. And here I am heading off to my meeting. Did you have enough money to get there? That day I was betting whether I'd make it in or not. Especially I'd get stopped by the police so much it took gasoline to get started again, you know. I was betting whether I'd make it or not. I took off with about a quarter of a tank, and the distance was about almost half a tank. Just when I was leaving the city limits of Oak Ridge, a woman jumped out in the road and signaled me down. She put a roll of money in my hand. I left with a whole lot more than just the money. God, I had faith. Well, when I would run out after going full time and not able to preach really, he had to supply it some way. Always had to be supernatural. And I could remember when he broke that, and that was the last time. Alan said just the other day, he said, he's traveled quite a bit with me in that. He says, I noticed that God takes care of you. I said, he does. But this time, I'd been catching for a guy. I told you this story before, but it fits too good. I was a catcher. One time I said, I was going to pray for someone. I said, I need a catcher up here. And this guy come up, and I said, well, stand behind him right there. And he stood behind him, and they fell down under the pound. He got out of the way. I said, are you the catcher? I called him. He said, yeah. And I said, why didn't you catch him? He says, oh, I was supposed to catch him? I said, yeah. Well, why'd you come up then? He says, oh, because I caught for the Red Sox. I said, okay. Okay. I got it. So then I went to Salem, Oregon to catch for a guy. And I had to get a ride with somebody because I didn't have any money. The bill at the store was due, and he kept looking at me, and I said, I changed jobs. He says, what do you do now? I said, I'm preach. He said, oh, okay. The bill kept getting bigger. Well, I caught and everything. I was ready to go home, and that's when the guy handed me a note. Did you know, preachers, when somebody gives you, a folded piece of paper, don't open it in front of them. You're not supposed to read the amount while they're watching you. Unless they want you to.
Opening it.
I started to open it, then I remembered. So I didn't put it back in my pocket, but I couldn't stay there either, so I ran in the bathroom. That's where we read them. Ran in there. And actually, I thought it was $7.36. Why? Because I never saw 736 before. I did. I almost died. The next day when I was going to the bank, and after the mistake I made that night and got home and showed Rosalie, there was no sleep. I was walking over the bridge, the tributary off the Willamette to where we boarded off a condemned bowling alley so I'd have a place to go pray. I stopped in the middle of the bridge and I said, this was my terminology in those days, I'd have killed for you. This has always been my dream since I was born again. I didn't know it was my call. Then I knew it later. But I'd have killed to do this. Killed. And you're going to pay me like this? I cried and cried, made it to the bank. Paid everything up, the store, everybody I owed, give 100 away. I still had 100 left, but I had a lot more than that. A lot more. I knew. See, I knew. 2 months later, a guy with patches on his arms came because his mother had shingles. He just heard God used me, so he brought him for her for prayer. He healed her shingles right there. No more pain. You know how painful shingles is to watch your mom, grandma suffer? She got healed, and he's the one that says, oh. He wouldn't call Jesus, Jesus, Yahshua. I said, no, Jesus, Yahshua. Nope, it's not. You don't say that. Anyway, I prayed in the name of Jesus and she got healed. He says, is there anything that I can get you anything you need. And I said, no, sir, I have no needs. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. He says, you mean you have no lack? No, sir, I have no lack. My God supplies all my needs. Well, what is it that you need, though? Nothing. I haven't known. My God supplies all of them. He didn't know what I was doing. He had patches on his elbow. Who's he? I didn't know that was one of those kind of suits. He went home finally. Followed me all the way to my car talking to me. And I thought, later I thought, didn't you see my car? Called me the next day and says, can I reword that? I said, sure. What are you believing for? Oh, I said, that's easy, a new car. He said, meet me at the dealership. What kind? I said, Volkswagen. He said, meet me at the dealership in Eugene. And of course, like I told you before, I picked the one on the showroom floor. It took them a long time to clear it. Move this one, move that one. They finally got it out. And then I went with him to the register. I'm thinking, he reached in, he got his checkbook. I'm thinking, oh wow, he's going to put a down payment. Wasn't a down payment. When I drove back, I stopped every 20 miles and hugged the front of it. I never had nothing new. You know what I felt like when I got out? Looked at it from my $50 apartment. You can't imagine how I felt. Hallelujah. What did he say? Can you consider the lily? Look at the fowls of the air. I'm not like that guy that he screamed at him for hours and finally got up and gave him what he wanted. I'm your father. I'm your father. Ask and you shall receive. Seek. You'll find. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, what he will receive of mine, shew it unto you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore I say unto you, so my glory I give unto you, that you may know the Father loves you with the same love he loves me. Wait a minute. What's his glory then? His glory was the standing he has with the Father. That's what he gave me. For what reasons? So I can know that my Father loves me with the same love he loved him. Can you believe that he loves you and is going to let you go? Can you believe that he loves you and he's going to let you die of some disease? I don't think so. We're going to find out more about this. Are we not? Isn't it something, the simplicity that he goes through the word with? The simplicity to show you, I mean, the examples that contrast each other. You know, you're going, does he feed the fowls? Yeah. Then he says, what's wrong with you? How come you don't think that I'll feed you? You don't have to be more afraid or any more afraid than the apostles who carried his mantle out. They were the example. You know, one of the reasons that we're not too well liked, because we literally found out that tithing was under the law, The difference between us and law is basically they had a death nature, so that if sin wasn't enforced, that's what they would do. If you kill somebody, you kill them. You go, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But when it changed, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you, and he that takes away all your goods, ask him not again." In other words, they steal from you fervently. You don't take them to court, jump down on them. But you know what the next verse, he starts with four things. He says, judge not, condemn not, slaps you on the face, forgive, and takes away your goods, give. So he says, judge not, condemn not, forgive, and give. And then he explains giving in Luke 6:38, which is what that was leading up to. Give, and it shall be given back unto you. Men will give, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give to your bosom. Is that in an offering? No. That's for some thief that stole your stuff, but you didn't do anything but pray for it. God says, whatever it costs you to hold that blood up unshakably in his face, that Jesus is Lord, no matter what he does. He not only picks up the bill, he multiplies it. It's not an offering verse. We found things out like that. We're not real, real popular on money. Stamped on the book, can't be sold. I understand the last printing was something around 10,000 books. Do you understand what it cost to print each book? If it was just a dollar, it would have been 10,000. And I don't even know what happened. I don't even know who did it. It's about people. Don't hurt them. The guy laughed so hard in the back room because of a word of wisdom I expounded on. He was talking about preachers and things, and I was too. But I said, you know that one day I was jogging with Alan, I believe, and in the middle of a jog, I went into a vision. And you know, if it's in the middle and you're out of it on the next step, you know it's a quick one. I saw a playground with children on it, merry-go-round, seesaws, everybody was going, and running and having, and just gay old time like kids on a playground. Then all of a sudden, right in front of me, they all turned into preachers. And then he said to me, don't hurt the children. If you knew the effect that ought and holding it against someone has on your answered prayers, then you'd know why he said, if you say to that mountain and oops, all of a sudden you remember you have ought, might as well just stop. Go fix it. Then finish offering it up. There's nothing wrong with God's provision. He does his part, do you? When we lifted the law off the giving, everybody returned to where they were really walking. Boy, did we have to believe. Boy, did we have to believe. But then again, here we are. That's where we're walking. Praise God. What we're doing is we're heading towards the material that revival is made out of and is sustained. That's where we're going. Some people say it doesn't look like it. People that say that know nothing about the war.